Well, good morning to all of you. It's good to sit here and look out and see God's people ready to hear God's word. It's a wonderful thing, and that's what we're here for. Well, today we're here on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So, greetings to all of you who are gathering with us for the first time. We haven't met all of you yet, but looking forward to meeting all of you. We're glad to have you here. Of course, we know this is the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and I'm sure we all know that it's a holy day. A commanded assembly. And now the title of my message today, When the World Today Becomes the World Tomorrow. And just before we get into our main message, I want to read you a couple of verses in Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8. Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. Now all of these things are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows before the great tribulation. Maybe that's where we are today, brethren. Well, in this message, I want to focus on what condition this world will be in and what our job will be when we return with Christ. We are here to celebrate the wonderful world tomorrow, the thousand-year reign with Jesus Christ as the King. A time of great peace and prosperity. Now, when we think of the world tomorrow, we usually turn at some point in Isaiah 11. That comes to mind, especially verses 6 through 9. I think you all probably know them. They're beautiful verses, but before we can get to this point in the world tomorrow, massive amount of things will have to take place. Utopia, brethren, will not be reached overnight. In fact, day one of the feast, which we are celebrating here today, will be a vastly different place. So today we're going to take a look at day one and Christ's reign, the beginning of the world tomorrow, and what he and his saints, which hopefully will be us, will actually be facing. Now, we just celebrated the Feast of Trumpets. This festival, as we all know, is a festival of war, of blowing of the trumpets, of great destructive wars ending in the three woes and the Battle of Armageddon at Christ's return. Let's go to Matthew. Again, Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. For then there shall be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. And if those days were not limited, there would be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened or limited. This is telling us, if God did not put a stop to this. Shorten these days, there would be no flesh saved alive. So we know how horrible it's going to be. Now, we know from Scripture that there will be those who survive. Human beings that survive this. And I believe these people will be our first priority. These people will be in shock and in a very confused state, having gone through and witnessed the near complete destruction of the earth. So when Christ and his resurrected saints return to this earth and put down the rebellion, the very first thing they're going to be faced with is dealing with these scared, bewildered, traumatized, weary, and even in some cases, angry population. Now some will gladly recognize him, Christ, for who he is, and will be eager for his government. Some will think he's an alien, and some will be suspicious, and some will not accept him at all. So let's start with the human condition, both mental and physical. Before spiritual enlightenment can take place, this human condition will have to be met. Now, many verses in the Bible tell us that this will be an extremely frightened population. I would think so. Remember, these people have just been through the destructive trumpets and the seven vials of God's wrath poured out on the earth just before his return. These plagues are not unlike those poured out on Egypt. So let's look at some verses in God's Word and see what we can learn. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6, verses 12 through 17. And when he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as fig tree casts its untimely figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the heaven departed like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. This is a horrible thing that's going on here, brethren. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the powerful men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to them, to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of his wrath has come, and who has the power to stand? So it's going to be a horrendous time. Now let's go over here to Revelation 9 and verse 6. Revelation 9, verse 6. And in those days men will seek death and will not find it. And they will desire to die, but death will flee from them. So, again, horrible situation. Let's go to Isaiah first. Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13, verses 6 through 9. 6 through 9. Howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore all hands shall be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain like a woman who travails, and they shall be amazed at one another's faces. Their faces shall be like blazing fire. Behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to make the earth a desolation, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. So, a terrible time. But believe it or not, there will still be some hard-headed individuals who will still not repent. Let's look at Revelation 16. Revelation 16, verse 9 and then 21. Revelation 16, 9. Then men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has authority over these plagues, and did not repent. After all of these things, they did not repent to give him the glory. Now verse 21. And great hail, each stone the weight of a talent, fell down from heaven upon men. And what did they do? And men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, for the plague was exceedingly great. Still, they blasphemed God. Now these people will undoubtedly be killed and not allowed to enter the kingdom because they will not repent. This account is found in Revelation 19, 17 through 21, and Zechariah 14, 12. I won't turn there for time, but you can go back and look those up. Now let's talk about the condition of the earth, the environment. Remember, this earth has been devastated by the trumpet wars and the pouring out of the vials. The Bible describes various earthquakes. The earth will be rocked by these. Let's look at, again, Revelation 16, 18 and 19. Revelation 16, 18 and 19. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were on the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and the great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. Horrible time, brethren. Horrible, horrible things. Of course, there will be volcanoes. You know, what about Yellowstone? We know that Yellowstone Park sits on a huge volcano. And if it ever blew, why, we would be gone, even way down here. We would be done for. Hailstones, again, Revelation 16 and 21, and we already read that. Heavenly signs. Let's look at Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, verse 6 and 7. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. And it will be one day in which shall be known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. So everything's going to be thrown out of sync. The whole world is just going to be, where it's supposed to be dark, it'll be light. Where it's supposed to be light, it'll be dark. Horrible things. Let's go back to Revelation again. Revelation 6, verse 13. Revelation 6 and verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its untimely figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. So you'll have meteor showers and all kinds of things going on. The earth will be shaken out of its orbit. Look at Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah 13 and verse 13. Isaiah 13 and verse 13. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall move out of its place in the wrath of God of hosts, of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. So the earth will be shaken out of its orbit. There will be scorching heat and fire. Now the results of all of these things, of course, will be, quite naturally, drought, hunger, and disease. Because that's what follows all of these things that happen. Now when the rebellion is quelled, Christ and his saints, who will have been fully briefed on their respective jobs, land on the Mount of Olives. They will be fully prepared to take over the overseeing of the massive cleanup and rubble and debris. A total reconstruction of the earth's surface will be required, starting with the living conditions of the people, because we still have people alive on this earth, if you can believe that. So the whole infrastructure will have to be redone God's way. Whole cities will have been reduced to rubble. The entire countryside's destroyed. If you've seen any pictures of the over in Syria, where they have bombed that place for, how long has it been going on? This heaps of rubble, those places in Syria. When you see that, you just can't hardly believe it. This is what it's going to be like. Well, homes have to be rebuilt and repaired. Countryside has to be restored. Food provided. Crops planted. Gentle healing rains needed to heal the land in due season. Jobs provided. There will be plenty in reconstruction. The economy will have to be established. Some kind of economy. And government will be set up. God's government. You know, people have been trying to attain one world government for centuries. Well, they will have it at last. However, not theirs, but God's. We'll have the right kind of government. Satan's corrupt Babylonian system will be put down forever. Amen to that. We just celebrated atonement a little while back, where Satan has been put away for now, so we won't have to deal with him right then. Think Donald Trump and drain the swamp, only multiply this 1,000 times. Christ and his saints will have the power and resources to enforce the new administration, unlike our current president, who all he gets is, you know, a no vote when he tried to do something. No, we can't vote for that. No, we won't do this. And they argue and fight and they discuss and it goes on. It's like the Romans. Remember how the Romans were? That's the way we are in Washington, D.C. You You know, Mr. Trump, I think, trying to do something good for the country, but not getting too much cooperation. Well, God's laws will be established. The power and resources to enforce the new administration, unlike our current president, as I said. Now, what laws are we talking about? The Ten Commandments. They will be the law of the land. Let's look at Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2, verses 1 and 3. 1 through 3. Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 3. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, spoke concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the mountains, and shall be, and the hills, and the nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the house of the mountain of the Lord, to the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So God's government will be set up and established. Now let's go over to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, verse 20 and 21. Isaiah 30, verse 20. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher shall not be removed into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it, when you turn to the right hand and to the left. And those teachers will be us, brethren. If we qualify, if we hang in there, we will be those teachers. So how are we going to govern? Firmly, but with loving kindness and mercy, taking into account the state of most of these people we'll be dealing with. Let's go back again to Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and the might, and the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge according to the sight of his eyes, nor after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and shall reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. So that's the kind of government God is going to set up. Now let's go a little farther back in Isaiah to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, verses 10 through 13. Isaiah 49, 10 through 13. Isaiah 49, 10. They shall not hunger nor thirst, nor shall the heat or sun strike them. For he who has compassion on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water he shall guide them. And I will make all my mountains into roads, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break out into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people, and we will have compassion upon his afflicted. That's an awesome verses there, brethren. What God is going to do is an awesome thing. Now, not all will welcome the new coming king and its form of government. Not everyone is going to fall immediately into lockstep with this new leadership. But rebellion will quickly be put down. Let's go back to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, verse 16 through 19. Zechariah 14, 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Yes, God's holy days will be enforced. And it shall be, whoever will not come up from all the families of the earth to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon him shall be no rain. So there will be a plague, but no rain. And if the family of Egypt has no rain, that has no rain, does not come up to present themselves, this shall be the plague with which the Lord shall strike the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be Egypt's punishment, and the punishment of all the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now God's healing government will be worldwide. But he begins with his people, Israel. Let's go back to Isaiah again. Isaiah 11. A lot of things in Isaiah. Isaiah 11, verse 11 through 13. Isaiah 11, verse 11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall again set his hand the second time to recover the remnant of his people that remains from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Ethiopia and from Persia and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the coast of the sea. And he shall lift a banner for the nations and shall gather the outcasts of Israel and they and gather together the scattered ones of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And the envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not trouble Ephraim. So God is going to bring these nations and these tribes together. Now God establishes his government with his people first. But notice something interesting. Let's look at Isaiah 19. Isaiah 19, Isaiah 19, starting in verse 16. And we'll go to verse 25. And in that day Egypt shall be like a woman, and it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shakes over it. And the land of Judah shall be terror and be afraid toward it because of the purpose of the Lord of hosts, which he has purposed against it. In that day, five cities in the land of Egypt shall speak the language of Canaan and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of desolation. And in that day there shall be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at its border to the Lord. Now these nations were former enemies of Israel. These three nations, the former enemies of Israel, will be the leaders in spreading the new world order, the wonderful government of the world tomorrow. Christ's government will bring peace to all nations. There will be no more war. At last, worldwide peace will have been achieved. Let's look at Isaiah 11, verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 11, verses 4 and 5. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and shall reprove with equity the meek of the earth, and he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Zechariah 8, verses 4 through 12. Zechariah 8, verses 4 through 12. Thus says the Lord of hosts, there shall yet be old men and old women sitting in the streets of Jerusalem, and each man with his staff in his hand because of their great age, old people. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Won't that be something? Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in those days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts? Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Now, let's look at Isaiah 19. Isaiah 19, 16 through 25. In that day shall it be like women, and it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shakes over it. And the land of Judah shall be terror to Egypt, and everyone who mentions it shall be afraid toward it because of the purpose of the Lord of hosts, which has purposed against it. In that day, five cities in the land of Egypt shall speak the language of Canaan and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of desolation. And in that day there shall be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and in the pillar at its border to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. They shall cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a deliverer, and a great one, and he will deliver them. And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and Egypt shall know the Lord in that day. and shall offer sacrifices and offering, and they vow a vow to the Lord and perform it. And the Lord shall strike Egypt, he shall strike it and heal, and they shall return to the Lord, and he shall respond to them and heal them. And in that day, this is really something here. In that day there shall be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria. And Assyria shall come into Egypt, and Egypt into Assyria. And Egypt shall serve with Assyria. And in that day Israel shall be the third with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land. These three countries are going to come together. Egypt, Assyria, and Israel. And they will be a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, Blessed be my people Egypt, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel my inheritance. And they will all be together. These three nations, the former enemies of Israel, will be leaders in spreading the new world order, the wonderful government of the world tomorrow. Christ's government will bring peace to all nations. There will be no more war. At last, worldwide peace will have been achieved. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, verses 4 and 5. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and shall reprove with equity the meek of the earth, and he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Zechariah 8, verses 4 through 12. We already read this, but we're going to go through it again. Zechariah 8, 4 through 12. Thus says the Lord of hosts, there shall yet be old men and old women sitting in the streets of Jerusalem, and each man with his staff in his hand because of great age. And the streets shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets of it. Thus says the Lord, if it is marvelous in my eyes of the remnant of this people, in those days will it not so be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord. And we're going to go to Micah. So we'll go to Micah chapter 4. Micah 4, verses 1 through 4. Micah 4, verse 1. But it shall be in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the house of the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and will rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall each set each one under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. For the people will walk, each one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord of God forever and ever. Now when this age is gone, or has passed, and the world tomorrow is finally here, if we qualify, we will be able to help those people who survived. to learn about God and His plan, and to be able to heal the sick and wretched people and teach them God's ways. Now, wouldn't that be something, brethren, to be able to teach these people for the first time God's ways? Let's go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7. Revelation 21, 1 through 7. Then I saw the new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from heaven say, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall not be any more death, nor sorrow, or crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, because the former things have passed away. That's awesome scripture, brethren, to think that we could actually have that kind of life and government again. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Then he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the one who thirsts, I will give freely of the fountain of water of life. The one who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Brethren, how awesome is our God and his plan for us and for mankind. Well, brethren, I hope this message will encourage us to hang in there so that we can be a part of God's awesome plan for mankind. So I will close with 1 Corinthians. 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 through 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Accordingly, it is written, The first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became an ever-living spirit. However, the spiritual was not first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man is of the earth, made of dust. The second man is from the Lord of heaven. As is the one made of dust, so also are those who made of dust. And as the heavenly one, so also are all those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the one made of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. This is for us, brethren, if we hang in there. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. But behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptibility, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory, brethren, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. So let us be about our Father's business, brethren.